This is Michael Johnson, and we're here in another of our series of podcasts with F5 Networks. And today we're going to be talking with Ken Salko, who is the manager of core technical marketing at F5 Networks. Welcome to the podcast, Ken.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we have been talking lately about business continuity and disaster recovery and sort of going through the litany of terms and solutions. And a thing that came up that we also wanted to explain was redirection. Can you tell me a little bit about what redirection is?
Yeah, every time it comes up, it seems like it's a little mysterious. They throw that word out there. So redirection is just one way to describe what most people think of when they discuss disaster recovery and business continuity solutions. It's just the critical act of moving users from an application that was running to away from it when it quits running to another application that's running. So a classic example of this is what we run across in local area load balancing. You have 5 web servers that are running, people are accessing the website, and one of those servers goes down. Well, you don't want to send users to that server anymore. So any users that were on that server, we redirect or move those users to away from the dead server to a server that's still working. So in disaster recovery and business continuity, we just usually talk about that on a much grander scale. It's moving people away from a data center that's no longer available to a data center that is available.
So what kinds of solutions does F5 offer for redirection in this business continuity disaster recovery scenarios?
Sure. F5 is often recognized as providing, you know, the local area solutions, but it is true we have a host of solutions that really help facilitate that same kind of high availability, performance, and security over the wide area as well. And that's what people are usually talking about when they discuss business continuity and disaster recovery. So providing for complete BCDR plans can really be costly if you start thinking about all the different pieces that go into this. Having access to multiple data centers, the data replication, access, a lot of things I know we'll talk about on further podcasts. So they start this process kind of from the inside out. They start with their servers and their firewalls and their routers, making sure that they're all highly redundant, highly available. And as they move out from that core, they start getting closer and closer to the internet. And the first thing they come to is their ISP connections. So one physical connection to your data center isn't necessarily a safe way to go. And I think anybody who's had a backhoe cut their ISP connection knows how this one goes. But it's also really kind of difficult to have multiple connections. If you start looking at, you know, PGP or BGP peering and having multiple ISPs that have to work together when they don't necessarily like each other because they're competitors. And oftentimes the easiest thing is to do a simple failover of your ISP connection. But then you're left with one ISP connection that's just not there. It's not usable until something fails. So one of the products that F5 offers is something called the Big IP Link Controller. And what the Link Controller does is allow you to have multiple ISP connections, even ones with different bandwidths from multiple providers, and manage the data flow and policies inside your organization instead of having to rely on BGP support from your ISPs. So really quick example of how Link Controller offers this kind of functionality is I once had a customer who had a simple T1 line into their business, and they were plagued by outages on this T1 line. It seemed like anything that possibly could go wrong on their T1 line did. So they were looking for something that was a little bit more highly available. And what we did is we opted to, in addition to their T1 line, they added an on-demand ISDN circuit, something that, yes, they had to pay a small monthly fee just to have access to it, but they didn't have to pay for bandwidth until they used it. And then we used the Link Controller to manage those connections. And the Link Controller is configured to say, all traffic inbound and outbound for our organization is going to go across the T1 unless something happens. And if something happens, then switch on the ISDN circuit and start routing all that traffic, redirect all that traffic inbound and outbound across the ISDN circuit. So for this customer, this was really a simple, low-cost solution that allowed them to solve their problem. But it also added some additional benefits, things like if they had traffic growth spikes on their T1 line, we could now use the ISDN circuit in addition to T1 to provide additional bandwidth for those spikes. and give them the ability to look at it and say, you know, is this a temporal event? Was this just a spike in traffic, or is it indicative of our new bandwidth needs? So it gave them a little bit of leeway, some flexibility in managing that link. Now, most people don't think about this when they talk about business continuity and disaster recovery, but oftentimes those events, those disaster events, are actually initiated by losing your ISP connectivity. So link controller actually provides you a way to avoid those.
You can set the link control so that it's actually monitoring traffic, and when things get to a certain level, it'll kick things over on one side or the other, or it sounds like it's analyzing as well as directing the traffic as well.
Well, it's looking at bandwidth utilization, mm-hmm. it's looking at response times, it's looking at, whether the link is there at all. You know, can we reach things on the Internet, or can people on the Internet reach us? So it's taking all that into account.
All right. Any other products that you offer that also address some of these problems?
Sure. So link controller, like I said, can help avoid some of those disasters, but obviously, having multiple links into your data center isn't going to help if the data center burns to the ground. It sure helps when that backhoe takes out a connection, but when the entire data center goes down, that's just not going to help. So F5 does have another product called the Big IP Global Traffic Manager, or GTM, as we call it in-house. And GTM provides that same kind of services that Link Controller provides for your ISP links and our Local Traffic Manager provides for your servers, but on a global level, capable of redirecting users to different data centers if a data center were to go down. And it's not just that train switchover that people talk about. It's not just your data center goes down, so we switch everybody to a backup data center. But GTM has some capabilities of load balancing between those data centers, taking into things like, what's the response time between the client and each of those data centers? Which data center is better able to serve that client at this particular moment? That's one of the really cool benefits of it. GTM also has something that I don't think people always think about when they talk about disaster recovery and business continuity, but what happens if one of your critical applications dies at your primary data center? Now, does that mean you should switch all your traffic over to your secondary data center, or would it make more sense from a cost perspective or from just a plain management perspective only to switch users for that one application? And GTM is capable of really understanding how applications work and doing it on a granular application-by-application basis.
Okay, now you just described two solutions. Now, do you need both of them? Like, do you need both a link controller and something like a wide area distribution manager, like Global Traffic Manager, or can you use one or the other?
So it really depends upon what the requirements are for the individual customer. As I mentioned before, doing full business continuity and disaster recovery with multiple data centers, is really potentially outside the bounds of some companies. Small and medium-sized companies may not be able to afford that kind of services to provide that functionality. So for those customers, Link Controller might be a good option to provide additional assurance that they're not going to go down without having to spend all the money to have multiple data centers. So in that situation, a Link Controller by itself would be a fairly good, cost-effective solution for the client. Global Traffic Manager, usually that's bigger companies that have that capability of having multiple data centers. But GTM by itself provides that functionality, but you also have to look at a lot of those companies may be renting space at a disaster recovery center where they get charged every time they fail over everything over to that data center. So for those companies, GTM alone would be a good solution. It provides them business continuity and disaster recovery. But if they added Link Controller to the scenario, they wouldn't incur all the cost of switching everything over to their backup data center if they simply lost an ISP connection. So it really depends upon the scenario of the customer, how much effort they want to put into it, how much money they can afford to spend to solve these problems.
So what kinds of companies would need these types of solutions, and what are some things that they would look at that you think would be some basic sort of benchmarks for them to start taking a look at some of these solutions? Like, say, they could look at their network and say, these are my key points, these are the issues that I'm seeing right now that would lead me to that.
So there's the customers that aren't even looking at business continuity and disaster recovery. They just have pain. Link Controller is often sold into organizations that simply have pain from an ISP standpoint. It's not their entire data center. It's not part of a BCDR plan. They just know that they have connectivity issues. So individual pain points might be a reason why customers are looking at these products. And I used to talk about enterprises, the large companies, the companies that really had the money and the wherewithal to really do business continuity and disaster recovery. But, you know, I can't talk about just the enterprises anymore, the huge companies. As we begin to be more mobile, as people start using more handheld devices to access applications, salespeople are really running their lives on BlackBerry devices and Windows mobile devices. The whole idea of having accessibility and continued continuity into a data center is becoming increasingly important for even some of the smallest customers we see. So, again, it comes down to how much money are you going to lose when that data center goes down or you're not available, and how much is it worth for you to solve that problem?
So we've talked about redirection. Does it solve the business continuity disaster recovery problem? And, you know, is this the, you know, the final solution?
Yeah, and it's really only a part of that solution. It's the front-end part. It's the part, like I said, that most people think about when they talk about business continuity and disaster recovery. How do you move people from one data center to the other data center is very a critical point, but there's a lot of other pieces involved, and we'll be talking, I believe, with you about some of these other aspects of business continuity and disaster recovery, like, you know, it doesn't make sense to switch someone over to a data center if the data is not there. If the data is not there, it doesn't matter if they're connected to it. It's really not useful. And being able to access that secondary data center. One of the big things I see a lot of companies miss when they talk about business continuity and disaster recovery is a lot of organizations have their primary data center at their primary office. And there's a good chance if that data center is completely offline, you may have lost your entire office. So all those people that were directly connected over hardwired networks to that data center, if they're going to continue to do business, they're now going to be remote users to that secondary data center. So you need to look at how you remote access. What kind of policies and procedures do you have in place to allow all those people? Do you have the licenses capable of handling all those users? So this is one part in the disaster recovery and business continuity process. This is one tool to help people get there. But there are other pieces that they'll need to take into account.
Okay. Ken Salko is the manager of core technical marketing at F5 Networks. We've been talking about redirection today and where that fits into the business continuity disaster recovery scenario. And to learn more, you can check out information at learn.f5.com. I'm Michael Johnson. Hey, Ken, thanks for being on the podcast with us.
Thank you. Always enjoyable.